On Friday, Pope Benedict XVI spoke to a group of 1,000 young academics in Madrid as part of his World Youth Day agenda. Speaking to him on behalf of the academics was Professor Alejandro Rodriguez de la Peña, a history professor and vice-rector at CEU San Pablo University. Professor Rodriguez spoke to Eimear McCarthy.
Were you surprised by Pope Benedict XVI calling a meeting with young academics?
Yes and no. Yes and no. I was surprised because it was the first time in a World Youth meeting that a Pope addressed academics. And this is why I was surprised, because it was the first time. But I wasn't surprised because of his personal profile. He's a great academic indeed. He has been a great professor. He has such a great intellectual world profile. He's such a wise man, a sage. So I wasn't surprised at all, given his personal profile. I was surprised because it is the first time it has been done in this kind of meeting.
Yes, but it's also true that Pope Benedict XVI has frequently spoken about what he has described as an educational emergency, particularly referring to the problems of young people today. We've seen a lot of discontent, even in Britain. We've seen violence erupting and among young people. Would you agree that there is an educational emergency? Is that your experience?
Indeed, I do agree. I do agree. I think he has suffered in his own ministry as Pope. He has suffered one example of this educational emergency when he was invited to La Sapienza, to the University of Rome. When he was invited to give this lecture in La Sapienza in Rome, he was confronted with a very aggressive response on behalf of a group of radical anti-clerical students and professors, and he suffered, he experienced what is to be rejected, what is to be excluded from academia just because you are a Catholic or because you are the Pope. So he knows, he has a first-hand experience of what is to be, so to speak, excluded. So, in my opinion, there is an educational emergency, not only because we have a great problem with young people, as the recent disturbs in England has shown, or in other places. We have a generation gap, we have a problem of values, a problem with education in general, a big problem, I think. But this is a general problem. Forward, we Catholics, or we Christians in general, we have another problem added to the first problem. This problem is that sometimes in some school ambience, in some university, in some universities, if you have a faith that is not hidden, that is not undercover, you will confront your fellow students or your fellow professors, and you will feel isolated or excluded just because of your faith. So, in my opinion, educational emergency has to do with a general generation problem and with young students and young professors' faith problem of public life, a faith to try to be coherent with your faith in academia. And this is related to another problem that this Pope and John Paul II has highlighted many times, the problem of faith and reason. You can have a problem in your classroom if you teach or you express your faith, or you are coherent with your faith as teacher or as student, but you can have a problem as well if you write an article or you give a lecture in which you don't accept political correctness regarding faith and reason. So I think educational emergency is not only about education, it's as well about science. It's all is related, I think.
No, we've seen a huge change in Spanish society over the last 10 years. We've seen, people call it a secularization, which is true, of course. We cannot, you know, in any way doubt that with the current government and the passing of many laws which go strongly against the Catholic faith. Is there still, however, room, space for discussion and debate in Spanish society between people of a secular point of view, between people who have no belief and believers? Is there space for this dialogue, a dialogue that generally starts and flourishes, particularly among the intellectuals of any society? Would you see the space is existing in Spain?
Of course, there should be this space, there should be this debate. Every healthy society has to have this kind of debate between intellectuals, lay intellectuals, Catholic or Christian intellectuals. Is this thing that the Pope has called the discussion in the, I don't know the English word, Gentile atrium, the
courtyard of the Gentiles. Yeah.
This thing is urgent in Spain. We have urgency. But to be very honest with you, in Spain we have a problem of intolerance, intellectual intolerance. I have been a student and a scholar in other universities outside Spain. I have been in Cambridge, I have been in the States, in Holland. And if I compare, I think in Spain the atmosphere is more aggressive. It's less room for dialogue. Of course, there is dialogue. There will be dialogue. The political aspect of this confrontation, to be sincere, is less hot. I mean, things are getting more calm, less hot, less aggressive. But in the academia, in the media, in intellectual ambience, I don't feel like, you know, there is an honest, straightforward debate on faith and reason, on secularization. Spain has secularized as very quickly. I mean, it's at a very, it's a very quick process, a very, you know, accelerated process. I mean, in other European societies, it has taken more time. In Spain, in just 10 years, 15 years, things, even 5 years ago, things that were so consolidated, so clear, so beyond debate in Spain and regarding faith and politics, faith and science, faith, all is questioned. Everything is questioned now. Even the Pope's visit now, there is a group of people very, very, very much radicalized that even question the right of the Pope to come here, the very right to come here to speak.
The debate, because in any healthy civil society, there's always a debate, particularly beginning at an academic level, between believers and non-believers, but generally for the construction of a sound society for the common good. We've seen a Spain that has changed enormously, as you said, in 10, 15 years. Is there still space for that debate? Is it something that is missing? Could that be one of the contributing factors to why societies that have become rampantly secularized, such as Spain, seem to be suffering the crisis, not only economic, but also the current crisis, worse than most other societies?
In some degree, the situation in Spain is that we have a cultural crisis, an identity crisis, that it has to do with our national identity. I mean, Spain has been historically a nation that is famous in the world because of its role as a Catholic country. And now Spaniards, since 30, 40 years ago, are we asking ourselves, who are we? Who are we? Are we a Catholic country? If we are a secularized country, we have to look for a new identity, because during around 1,300 years, we have been a very Catholic country. So the process of reconstruction of a national identity that France, for example, initiated 200 years ago with the French Revolution, we are doing it now in a very rude way. I mean, very. I mean, it's not something intellectually. No, it's how to say it in English. It's something very, very poor. It's an intellectual debate with no level at all. No, it's not a high level intellectual debate. It's just we want to be lay, we want to be secular, we want to be a modern country, identifying modernity with secularization, but very simple. It's nothing complex, nothing that I could intellectually respect. The problem with Spanish culture now is that we have to find an identity that incorporates Catholicism, that is our roots, is our original identity, and combine it with a new modernity that is not aggressive with Catholicism. We cannot build a new Spain against Catholicism. This is to destroy our identity. And what is happening with the new generation is that they are asking themselves, who are we? If I am not Catholic, what I am? This is the main question now. And when I see other debates in other countries, especially in the Anglo-Saxon countries, I think debate is more rich there. I mean, even the atheist militants, Dawkins and all the rest. I mean, at least there is a debate, an intellectual debate, and they are aggressive as well in the Anglo-Saxon countries. But there is an exchange of ideas. I mean, in Spain, I miss this kind of high-level intellectual debate. But this is only my opinion.
Absolutely. But you're a professor in Madrid University, and your academic studies, and that's something that you share in common with the Pope, at least.
I've made research on intellectual history, but I'm not a philosopher. I'm just a historian. Okay. So I have interest as the Pope wrote his PhD, his philosophy dissertation on Saint Bonaventure, and he was a medieval theologian. I know things about the Ratzinger research on Saint Bonaventure, but to be honest with you, my field of research and his field of research, they are not very close, and they are different fields of research.
What is the message that you will bring to the Pope on behalf of young academics, not only in Spain but elsewhere?
I would like to bring two messages. The first one is that we say to him that we are so grateful for his teachings, we are so grateful for his wisdom, for his role as not only as a pastor, as a pope, and before as a cardinal prefect, but when he was a professor at in Germany. He is an example of how you can be a great professor, a great academic, and be faithful to your faith, to your church. The famous dialogue with Habermas, Julian Habermas, is an example of this. And we would like to say to him, we are grateful, we admire you. Not only as you, we love you as a vicar of Christ, you are the vicar of Christ, we are here because of this, but you, as Joseph Ratzinger, you are a great intellectual, probably the most important intellectual alive of this age. So we would like to say this. And secondly, we would like to say, Catholic professors, Catholic teachers, we have a role to play in the academic world, not only as teachers, as well as scientists. It should be possible that science and faith go together. We cannot be excluded of academia because we have faith, because we would like to be coherent with our faith. If we want to have free academia, we want to have freedom exchange, freedom in the sense of exchange of ideas, debate, free debate. It has to be acceptable that there are academics that try to make in their research, in their teaching, make perfectly coherent faith and reason. And this is a great battle we have to fight, because in some places this is not accepted. If you say some things, you are excluded from the academia because you have said something that is against political correctness. And this is a problem for us. I would like to speak about it, and of course of our role as so to speak, bringers of the evangelical truth to our students. If I am not if I am not a kind of an apostle, if I cannot be an apostle as teacher, as professor, if I cannot be an apostle, I cannot fulfill my vocation, because I am a Christian and this is for me more important than to be a professor. So I should have freedom to be an apostle in my classroom. And this is another problem we have, to be an apostle and to be a professor. Are these things that have to be separated or not?